Today we're looking at the last sermon in the series on the 23rd Psalm. And as we have before, we're going to read the Psalm. So if you want to turn to that at this time, unless you feel like you know it by heart by now, you can just recite it. I know it by heart, but in the King James language, and which is a little different than the NIV, but we'll read it out of the NIV. Everybody find it? Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's so much in that psalm, and we've covered part of it, but not all of it for sure. The main point in preaching this series was to emphasize the importance of choosing the Lord to be our shepherd. If we do that, then that puts us in line to receive some wonderful benefits that this 23rd Psalm outlines for us. There are two more benefits that I want to talk about, and he mentions them in the last verse that we read together today. Let's see what they are and what makes them so special. First of all, he says, if we choose to make the Lord our shepherd, surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives. In the King James Version, of course, I think that says mercy. Goodness and mercy follow me. Surely that will happen as a result of having the Lord to be our good shepherd. A little boy talking about this verse said, God told us if we follow him, then goodness, mercy, and surely will follow us. But that's not exactly how this word surely is used here. Actually, it sort of sums up the whole psalm. If the Lord is our shepherd, then all of the blessings described in the previous five verses apply to us as well as this last verse. And it is the ultimate expression or the logical conclusion of the listing of those blessings. The psalmist continues by saying, goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives. Now, there are some things that we would just as soon not have following us around as we go through this life. I'm talking about things like unforgiveness, guilt, doubt, hatred, lust, and bitterness. Those are the kind of things that we want to keep away from us because they are destructive. But goodness and love are the kind of things that we ought to want to have following us around. Now, the meaning of this word follow is more like pursue. It's an active thing. And it even means chase. So if we take it in that sense, it means goodness and love will pursue us and chase us if the Lord is our shepherd. That's just another way of saying that the Lord wants to shower his love and goodness down upon us because we are his people. Let's think about this goodness and love of the Lord that we have pursuing us. In the Old Testament, Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. Remember that incident? The Lord answered by saying, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I will manifest my power to you. He didn't say, I will show you how great I am, how awesome I am. But he wanted Moses to see his goodness. The Lord went on to explain, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So as we think about the goodness of the Lord, we see that it contains, or that it's made up of, the Lord's graciousness, which is also related to His grace and His compassion. And that's how He wants us to see Him. That's how He wanted Moses to see Him. More than He wanted to see Him in all of His power. In Psalm 23:17, David declares, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord." Where? In the land of the living. In spite of all the trials and troubles that David went through, David believed that the Lord would be gracious and compassionate to him in this life. And that encouraged David to sort of hang on. That gave David hope. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans about those who judge and condemn others while they are guilty of doing the same thing, says, "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Now, there's a different approach. Instead of using scare tactics to get people saved, show them the goodness of the Lord. Show them how kind He is, how long-suffering He is. Show them His forbearance. Don't get me wrong, I believe God does have a just side, which includes His judgment of sin. But sometimes people need to hear about God's goodness. Do you remember the little chorus that goes, "God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me"? That's not just a little nice little chorus. That's an expression of what we believe about God. We believe that He's good. How good is He? He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Sometimes the goodness of the Lord will melt a hard heart when condemnation only hardens that heart all the more. But let's move on to what the NIV translates love, goodness. Goodness and love will follow us. The Hebrew word here used is chesed, and it means the unfailing, steadfast, covenant love of God. Personally, I prefer the word loving kindness because I believe it relates to the grace of God. I don't think we have any full understanding about the grace of God. I don't think we understand the grace of God. We've all heard, we've all been taught that the grace of God is something that He gives to us, His favor. And He gives it in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it, in spite of the fact that we cannot earn it, but simply because He loves us. He bestows His grace upon us. What do you think about when you hear the word kind? You know, somebody's kind. Maybe a better question would be, who do you think about in that connection? Is there a certain person that epitomizes the trait of kindness for you? Remember somebody in your life who has been kind to you? And a person who just sort of stands out as a kind person. At the risk of embarrassing my wife, I want to say that I feel she is one of the kindest people I have ever known. I'm sure you've had people in your lives that you feel the same way about, and they've been a blessing to all of us. The Free Dictionary defines the word kind in this way: having or showing a friendly, generous, sympathetic, warm-hearted nature. Know anybody like that? Be thankful if you have people in your life that are like that. We could also add to that list loving, And all of that taken together certainly describes Jesus, doesn't it? Perhaps that's why the little children, those who were poor and outcasts, were drawn to him. The opposite of kind is mean. I've known some people like that too, haven't you? I don't understand why some people are so mean, especially to little children, the poor, the defenseless, and even animals. You probably heard about the man who threw his little child off the bridge in Florida. Or right here in Louisville about the man who beat his little child to death. I don't understand that. I don't know how anybody could do those things. I think you'd have to be crazy. But it happens in our world. But listen, we can be very thankful that the Lord our God is not mean. Because if he was, we'd all be in trouble. He's kind, gracious. And his loving kindness is showered down upon us on a daily basis. The psalmist said, "Your loving kindness is better than life." That's what the psalmist means when he says, "The Lord's loving kindness will follow us." When? All the days of our lives. It's not just something we look forward to when we get to heaven. It's something that we have as a gift from the Lord right here and now. In this life, his loving kindness is showered down upon us. Have you ever had a day when it just seemed like everything was going wrong? I know you have. We all have. If we have a day or two like that in a row, we might begin to think unconsciously that everything is going to be bad from now on. That we have nothing to look forward to. Or like one woman said, "I don't want to feel too good because I know I'll start feeling bad again." The psalmist encourages us to look for the Lord's goodness and mercy in our lives, every day. Look for it. Listen to this statement very carefully. It's amazing how much better life gets when we start actively and purposefully looking for God's goodness and mercy in every experience of our lives. What a difference that might make. And what happens? Begin to look for the goodness of God. Begin to look for his kindness. And whatever's happening, say, well, sometimes that's hard to find. Yes, it is. Sometimes it's easier to find the bad. But God is there. And his goodness is there. Because we believe God is good. I can't remember who made that statement, but it makes a lot of sense to me. If we believe that God wants to pour out his goodness, to show that mercy to us, then why not look for that and expect that every day? Because that's when we need it. Isn't that right? Every single day of our lives, we need the goodness of God. We need his long-suffering love. We need for him to show us how much he cares. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He ends this psalm in a crescendo of faith by saying, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He was probably talking about the temple in Jerusalem when he made this statement. But it also has implications for us. David declared in Psalm 27, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Apparently, David had a great love for the Lord's house, for the temple of God, and must have gone there often. What was he seeking? He said that he wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. It was the Lord's presence that David was seeking. He needed the presence of the Lord in his life. And he went to the temple of God to find that. David not only wanted to experience the Lord's presence, but to learn about him. David said, "One thing have I desired. One thing I will seek." It wasn't that he simply thought about this, but something that he actively sought after. I know that David had a lot of problems. I know that he had sins. I know that he did some things that were very bad. But still, in spite of that, he was known as a man after God's own heart. And at one time it was said of him, he was hard after God. He was pursuing him. He wanted to experience him. He wanted to know him. He wanted to grow in that knowledge of him. All of that in spite of the fact that David must have been a very busy man because he was king. And he had a kingdom to administer. So what about us? Do we have that same desire? Do we have an intense longing in our hearts to experience the Lord's presence and to learn as much about Him as we possibly can? And will we do whatever it requires of us to make that happen in our lives? This verse has been quoted many times in connection with our hope of eternal life and the promise of heaven. As I said when I started this series, many preachers used this particular psalm at the time of people's death at funerals. But it has a much wider application than that. It gives people, and it has given many people, a sense of comfort and assurance to know that their loved ones who died in the faith are with the Lord in His house, and that someday we will be reunited with them. Doesn't that give you a sense of comfort and assurance to know that? That the ones that you have lost in your lives, that someday you will be with them again in the house of the Lord, in that great eternal house of the Lord. When that day comes, we'll all look back at all of the things that we have had to go through in this life. We'll look at the trials and the tests. We'll look at the suffering that we've gone through. We'll look at the heartaches that we've endured. We'll look at all of the problems that we've gone through. We'll look at everything that has happened to us in this life. And at that moment, we will be able to say in a declaration of faith, "It has been worth it all. It has been worth it." So, thank God. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to You. We thank You for this Psalm of David that has given us hope and encouragement and assurance in our hearts. Father, help us to have that desire for You more than anything else in this life. Not just to be with You, but Father, just to know You, to know about You. Father, we believe that to those who seek You, You will reveal Yourself to them. And we want to be those who seek. So Lord, we pray You'll help us to remember this psalm in the tough times and in the good times, and just to rejoice in You, Father, because You have made it worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen.